Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and today we're celebrating the great solemnity, the Annunciation, given to Our Lady, the amazing drama, the beautiful, beautiful work of salvation that's unfolding, and the unique role that Our Lady participates in. Before I jump into the reading today from Luke's Gospel, I just want to remind anybody, if you haven't had a chance to tune in the program this week, we've been really covering some great themes for the Lenten season. You can find those programs either just this week's or all the things we've been talking about over the season of Lent. You can go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can find it there. You can download it from the Ave Maria app as well. Access the programs whenever it's convenient for you. So the reading as given to us here in Luke's Gospel is the story of the Holy Spirit sent by the Father, making the way for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul describes it this way in Galatians 4. He said, "But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." Born of a woman. Up to that time, the whole story of salvation that was unfolding through the people of Israel, through the patriarchs, through the prophets, through others, was leading up to a time, the fullness of time, when not only God's word in the law, God's covenant expressed in the Old Testament, God's covenant relationship with the people, God now reveals in the fullness of time his plan, the fullness of his plan of salvation. I just want to read from Luke's Gospel, some of it from Luke 1 today, verse 26 and following. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And when he came to her, he said, 'Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I have no husband?' And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing is impossible.' And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." It's magnificent, this magnificently beautiful story. And God's way, so different than man's way. The absolute fullness of time, the history of humanity, and God's eternal plan unfolding. The most dramatic, the most important, the most powerful reality that human beings are now exposed to. How does it come? Does it come through kings, the powerful, the rich, the influential? I mean, the contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world could not be greater than what we're seeing here. The most profound action of God for our salvation that ever happened up to that point is given to a child, to a young girl. She's entrusted. She's drawn into the drama. And it's real. God sends this angel, glorious angel. Mary's surprised, she's shocked. And the angel declares to her who she is and what God is doing. God is entrusting the whole story, the culmination, the climax of the story of salvation, the reality of salvation. He's entrusting it to a young girl. There's so much there. God loves humility. God crowns humility. And what we relate to in this world, and what we define as power, what we're impressed by, the power of armies, the power of kings, the power of presidents, the power of billionaires, the power of intellects, the power, you name it, God's not impressed at all with any of it. He's really not. What he's impressed with, those who are meek and humble of heart, it's part of the message of the Annunciation. And God, who through the Immaculate Conception had acted to make it possible for Mary, right from her conception, to be protected and from the stain of original sin, so that the Son of God, literally, through the fecundity of the Holy Spirit, would be born in the womb of this little girl, this young girl. God the Father is entrusting. Now, think about that. He's not entrusting his Son, which is so much more than just the message, but the incarnation of God taking on human flesh. He didn't entrust it to the wife of the wealthiest man, the wife of the most powerful king on the earth at that time, to ensure that it was all going to work and that she would be protected and the rest. No, because God's in charge, ultimately, number one. But what God celebrates, what God loves, and what God crowns, and we can't miss this, friends, God loves humility. And humility is what? Understanding and know who we actually are before God. Humility is not thinking badly of ourselves. It's just not thinking about ourselves so much. It's surrender. It's as a capacity, humility, her humility is a capacity to hear and respond to God. Jesus, her Son, will ultimately describe who he is, the most intimate, in some ways personal self-description by Jesus of who he is. He said, I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. Come to me and you'll find rest for your soul. Jesus found rest in the womb of Our Lady. Her humility, her meekness. Salvation is God's work. It's the Father's work. And it's something I have to keep coming back to in my own life. The kingdom doesn't go forward primarily through our resources, through our prosperity, through our money, through all of that. We need things like that at different times. But the kingdom of God, the work of salvation, goes forward by the will of God, by the will of the Father, and it's unfolding in history, and salvation is being offered. And it begins here in the fullness of time. Again, Galatians 4, St. Paul. But when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Luke in the Annunciation describes how this all happened and unfolded, but Paul really puts his finger on what it means. What it means. God sent forth his Son under the law, and he describes it. Then when the time had fully come, what does it mean? It's not random. The incarnation is not like an emergency reaction or something like that. The covenant with Abraham, the law given through Moses, the Davidic promise to David, the prophetic hope of Israel. The Annunciation is the moment when eternity enters history. All of that preceded is building up to this moment. God enters history in the person of his Son who becomes one of us. He sent forth his Son. the Son who preexisted, the Son who's divine. And the Father initiates this mission, and the Son fully says yes to the Father. So the incarnation, you could say, is really Trinitarian even before it's Marian, because the Father was preparing Mary. It was the Father's plan unfolding in her. And then born of a woman, why does Paul put it this way? It's kind of interesting. It's deliberate, obviously. We're talking about real humanity. Jesus is not an apparition. He's not an angel. He's not a myth. He is truly human. And his birth was a true birth. He entered the world through a real mother. And through it, it affirms real conception, real gestation, real birth. The incarnation is biological, historical, and it's embodied. Total unique story of God's plan and God's purpose. And you think about where the woman is from. This also goes back to Genesis. I'm thinking like 3:15, Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. Well, the long-promised offspring has arrived. The Annunciation is the historical moment when this born of a woman becomes a reality. So it reaches its fullness of time because eternity entered time in the person of Jesus and now fills it up. It makes it possible. Instead of just the clock ticking and right around the corner is death and that's all that's there, that eternity has now entered. That's part of the light. That's the truth. That's the life of God that's entered. And everything changes. And it's totally mind-blowing, friends, that everything changes in the womb of a little girl. God's ways are not our ways. And again, just the idea, he's born under the law. Jesus was born into Israel, into the covenant obligation, into the structure of the Torah. Why? To redeem those who were under the law, St. Paul tells us, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Galatians 4:5, it goes on, just the continuation of that previous passage. And the incarnation is really ordered toward redemption. Jesus redeeming us, buying us out of sin, bringing us out of sin. Adoption, making it possible through his precious blood and being united to Jesus Christ in baptism to be adopted sons and daughters of God, to be able to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant that's in us. This is not sentiment. It's not just a sentimental story. This is ontological transformation, you could say, right at the ground of reality itself. Everything's changing. Salvation is being brought to a dying race of people. Mary's yes, I was thinking of Mary's yes in Galatians 4, God sent forth his son. It doesn't bypass human freedom. Behold, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word. Mary's yes is critical. The eternal son takes flesh. The mission begins. Salvation history turns on what? Mary's fiat. It's not incidental. It's a participation. The new Eve. A yes, receiving yes, God's plan. He doesn't redeem humanity by just violating humanity. He redeems it by elevating human freedom into cooperation, you could say, through the work of salvation. And Mary was the first. It all began on our end with her yes. So we celebrate today with great joy in our hearts. We celebrate Our Lady, her yes. She's the Queen of Heaven and Earth. All of it under the guidance of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mary, we love you. Hope you can join us tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes scripture, catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.